All I do is think about how to entertain you on Sundays. This is Monica Pearson, and welcome to Kiss 104, Atlanta's best R&B and throwbacks. A lot to do today. I'm going to help you mind your manners. I've got a 20-year etiquette coach here, Sharon Francis Moore. She's in town for the 15th Annual International Protocol Education Forum and why this is important to you. And the Heart of Marriage Retreat is coming up. Does your marriage need a... Kiss 104, Atlanta's best R&B and throwbacks. This is Monica Pearson. It's 87 degrees outside. Hey, you know we've all been wanting to see the tax returns of Donald Trump. Well, go to the Kiss 104 Facebook page and find out what WikiLeaks thought they might do to get a hold of his taxes. I just posted it. You're going to love it. But right now, how do you do when it comes to manners? How do you present yourself? If you're going to a big dinner and it's with someone who's wanting to hire you and you have this place setting in front of you and you don't know what to do with it, which is a salad fork. Well, believe it or not, something as simple as that could stop you from getting a job. And you know me, I love to have experts on who can help you be the best you can be. And my guest today is Sharon Francis Moore. She has been an etiquette coach for 20 years, has a law degree, but she chooses to lay down the law about how we should act in terms of our etiquette. She's also protocol. I think that is kind of cool. Sharon, thank you so much. Sharon Francis, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I met Sharon Francis at the Noble Convention. Noble is the National Organization of Black Law Enforcement Executives. And she impressed me so much when she started talking to me about why etiquette is so important and how many of us have lost it. You know, we used to hear about Emily Post and Miss Manners. Where are we now? And why is etiquette important?
Etiquette's important because it allows you to walk into any room and command it. It'll give you experiences that will allow you to have cross-cultural exchanges and will also help you get promotions in your job.
What are the common things that we do that show we don't know what we're doing?
Oftentimes, it's as simple as conversation. Knowing to prep ahead of time and knowing what conversations not to have. How to pivot and kind of roll out of conversations that might be difficult. I also see a lot of people who have trouble dining.
Dining, eating out.
Eating out and knowing what fork to use, what glass to use, and when.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I laughed when you showed me an ice cream spoon. I am 68 years old and had never even heard of an ice cream spoon.
That's why when I teach dining etiquette, I always start with 28-piece place settings.
What?
Yes. And you're never probably going to come across 28-piece place settings, but once you know it, you can sit in front of any place setting and you'll know exactly what to do.
Now, I want to go over some of the areas that you cover. We talked about dining, but you're also very strong on business, being prepared.
It is really important. You can lose a job, and I've seen it happen time and time again, by not being prepared. And that starts off with cleaning up your social media, knowing what to wear, how to behave, what to say, and a lot of times, what to do in terms of the follow-up after that business meal or meeting.
What should you do as follow-up that people normally don't do?
A proper thank you note. Oftentimes, people will send emails, and they're too casual within their emails. Writing an actual letter, because it's sort of a lost art now, leaves an impact.
That's amazing, because I think people just automatically use email for everything now.
They do, and that's what makes them kind of part of a pack. If you want to stand out, writing a letter will allow you to stand out.
Now, you also are, a stickler for business attire and how one should dress for occasions.
It's important. You want to make sure that you fit in the parameters of the company that you're going to, whether that is an actual corporation or just people that you're going to be around. And every occasion has a uniform. If you're going to a white tie event, then you know you want to wear tails if you're a man. And if you're going to a beach party, then flip-flops are okay. But vice versa does not work.
So you were not happy when the, I think it was either the soccer team or one of the sports teams, the women showed up at the White House in their flip-flops.
And that's why universities hire me to come talk to students and millennials in particular, so that they know what the proper dress is for the proper occasion.
Now, I was with a group of students with the National Association of Black Journalists all this week, and that was one of the hardest things for me to talk to our young women about. So I know that nail art is in, but
there's a place for everything. And in a business setting, nail art is not the place. Unless, of course, you work in a salon. Other than that, your nails should be kept short and plain.
And what about your attire? When you talk about business attire, because I was telling a lot of the young women, the dresses were a little too low cut, a little short, and a little too tight.
That happens a lot. And what I tell my students, especially when it comes to cleavage, it's chest, not breast. So if you could see your breast, your outfit is too revealing for business. Your skirt should be beneath your fingertips when your hands are at your sides, so that when you sit down, it doesn't rise up all the way. And you should make sure that it's not tight.
Now, what about for the guys?
The guys are important also. It's to know when to wear a tie and when not to wear a tie, to make sure the sleeves of your jacket actually meet the break of your wrists and the break of your pant. If you're going to get your pants hemmed, make sure you wear the shoes that you wore when you got them hemmed are the same shoes that you're going to wear when you wear the pant.
Now, why is it your etiquette is not our grandmother's etiquette?
Because it's modern. Grandma's etiquette is always good etiquette, but I also concentrate on social media and things that really affect modern people.
That's interesting, because when I think about it, you have to be culturally aware now, because we're a much more diverse community than we used to be. So in this new world, how do we learn about the customs of others and what's appropriate and what's not?
That's what's so great about protocol officers. They actually do that for a living. And they help move cultures together. They, for example, will tell you, don't wear white at this occasion for this particular culture because it's for death and mourning.
And that's in Japan, I think.
A lot of Asian countries. Mm-hmm. Or in Indonesia, for example, they don't say no. They will say yes, but. So to be aware that yes, but actually might mean no. And everything from flags to how to shake hands and how to address someone. It makes the world smaller and it makes you more culturally aware.
There is so much to learn. Now, what I loved about this, you were here for the 15th Annual International Protocol Education Forum. And I also understand that you are a member of the Protocol and Diplomacy International, a Protocol Officers Association.
It's a mouthful.
It's a mouthful. So when we come back, we're going to find out what that really means and why it's important to you. But if you're the 14th caller, I have something for you. Guess what? August the 13th, Mint Condition's going to be in town with Johnny Gill and Zapp. So if you'd like to go to this affair on August the 13th, I've got two free tickets for you if you're the 14th caller at 404-741-0104. You're listening to Kiss 104, Atlanta's best R&B and throwbacks. Kiss 104, Atlanta's best R&B and throwbacks. This is Monica Pearson. I'm here today with Sharon Francis Moore, and we were talking about etiquette and protocol. She is a member of Protocol and Diplomacy International and Protocol Officers Association. How do you become a member of this? Because I think this is not something you just pay your dues and you join.
No, it's not. There's a vetting process and, of course, an application, and they check to see what your background is. The members of this organization are absolutely extraordinary. They've worked for, or they work now, in the highest level of the government, military, cultural institutions. They work with kings, presidents, officials. They're incredible.
So tell us some of the, and I know you can't give names, but the kinds of positions you've worked with and the kinds of people who need your services.
I've been fortunate. I worked for a president of the United States, some officials in France, and some entertainers.
Why do entertainers really need you?
A lot of entertainers and sports figures want to transition from actually playing, whether it's music or playing a sport, to creating a brand. And with that comes etiquette. How to behave during negotiations, how to behave in their social and sometimes private lives to make sure that they are aligned with the brand that they're trying to promote.
Now, you are based in New York, but you travel literally all over the world.
All over the world. My last meeting was in Paris, and then from there, Pennsylvania, and down in Atlanta, I go to California, wherever I'm needed.
So how did you become this person? You went to school to be a lawyer. How did you fall into the world of etiquette and protocol?
I was fortunate. Growing up, I had a parent, actually two parents, who taught us protocol in the home. etiquette in the home. And then we traveled internationally. And then in undergrad, I was assigned to athletes and to people within the business department who were going to interviews. And they asked me to teach them how to eat and how to behave. And from there, I took classes. I worked for as an apprentice for people, a lot of certificates later, and here I am.
All right, now back to classes. When most of us think of etiquette classes, we think of children. Do you do them also?
I primarily focus on adults and millennials.
Why?
They actually really need it. It's more complicated. We discuss wines and dining and conversation, everything.
So how do you start a conversation when you are at a table with someone you don't know? Picking your brain.
No, it starts days before you get to that table. You have to know who you're sitting with. I tell people to make sure they read the newspaper. Oftentimes people don't read the paper. All the sections, not just political, but entertainment and sports, so that you have a variety of things to discuss.
So what are the kinds of things that people say they fall down on? We talked about the table setting, and that's one. But what are the other things that can really stop you in your tracks as an adult?
As an adult, it's knowing what to steer away from in conversation.
What should you steer away from?
Stay away from politics. And that's tricky, especially in this climate, because we're political. We have a presidential campaign going on. But that's something you should really stay away from.
So, you know, I got to ask this. So if someone says, who are you supporting, Hillary or Donald? How do you get out of that?
Then you just talk about the process. You say, you know, I think it's important for everyone to get out the vote, whether they support Hillary or Donald. And you just pivot the conversation away from your particular choice.
And religion, I'm sure, is another topic that can be one that
can blow up. It is a hot topic. So you want to stay away from it, but also be aware of it. A lot of times people they're not aware of people's religions. So they will set meetings up for times that they shouldn't. For example, Friday on a Sabbath, if you have someone who is of the Jewish faith, that might not be the best time to have a meeting. Or lunch meetings during Ramadan. So you want to be aware of those things, but never discuss those things.
So how do you find those things out? Call you?
You do, and I will teach them to you.
Well, I think the most interesting thing I've learned from this is that no matter what your age is, we still have a great deal to learn about how to deal with each other in this ever-changing culture that we live in.
We do, and even for me, I take courses. I'm around my peers, which is why we were in Atlanta to kind of get best practices for protocol and etiquette.
So what did you learn at this conference?
I learned such a great deal, I can't even begin to tell you. We had sessions on proper funeral etiquette, flag etiquette, seating and protocol rooms, receiving rooms.
Now, you see, that's something we don't think about, but that's something all of us has to deal with sooner or later. We all have to deal with a funeral. We all have to decide if you're having a big anniversary party, who to put where.
It's a big decision, and with protocol officers, it's not only who to put where, but it can get down to the details of the color of ink that you should use on your place settings. No, because you might use a color that reflects a certain tribal council that maybe the other group might be having a problem with. You try to make sure that everything matches or everything stands out. Even pairing food with the meeting, because food conveys a lot of thought. I know, it's a lot.
How do you have to be one of the world's most organized people in order to do this?
Protocol officers are organized. And they're also aware. It's making sure that you have taken care of every single detail in order to make sure that that meeting that you're in charge of goes smoothly.
So I have to ask you, if you're willing to admit it, what is one faux pas you'll talk about?
That I do myself?
That you did.
You know, it's funny. I'm like everybody else. I fall down too, and it depends on the occasion.
I'm not getting it from you. That's one of those protocol etiquette things in the interview. I got you. So do you work in that? Do you also teach them how to deal with media?
I do. A lot of the entertainment clients that I have, we do a lot of social media as well as regular mainstream media.
So that means don't put all your business in the street.
Don't overshare. Look at your photos. Look at what you tag, who you follow.
Oh, now, wait a minute. What do you mean, who you follow?
A lot of times people will follow other people who are controversial or who might not be aligned with their brand. And the companies who are looking for spokespersons will also look at who you follow.
Oh, my goodness. I never thought about that because most of us just think about, well, I just want to increase my numbers. We never look at who's following us. That could really be a problem.
It's who's following you and who you choose to follow.
Okay, folks. I hope y'all learning as much as I am. If you're interested in learning more about Sharon Frances Moore and her company that's called Chances, S-H-A-N-C-E-S, I am posting on our Facebook page her contact information. It'll lead you right to her website so that you can see. And it's beautifully done, by the way.
Thank you.
It is beautifully done. We talked about etiquette and protocol. We talked about dining. We talked about business, clothing, cultural awareness, the classes, and children's and teens. Now, to wrap it up, why should we care? Why should this be important to us?
I think three major reasons. Etiquette can be used as an exclusionary tool. And if you know it, you cannot be excluded. You can walk into any room, any meeting, and own that. And I think that's important for all of us. It's also a way to respect another culture. Knowing another culture is respecting another culture. And it's also a way for people to look at us in the best light possible.
I like that. Thank you so much, Sharon.
Thank you for having me.
This was great fun.
And I really enjoyed myself.
And I'm hoping some folks here in Atlanta will have you come back.
I would love that.
Because there's so many of us here who are in positions and we are hoity-toity, but sometimes we just don't do it the right way.
And I can help with that.
Thank you. And don't forget, if you want to see her website, it's going to be on the KISS Facebook page, or you can go to www.chances.com. I promise you, you will love it. Coming up in the next hour, are you married? Do you want to stay married? Is he getting on your last nerve? Are you getting on his last nerve? We're going to talk about how to tune up your marriage the way you tune up your car. How to keep it the way you've always wanted to be. How to keep that loving feeling that you had when you first got married. That's coming up because it is the Heart of Marriage Retreat coming up September 9th to 11th. We'll have guests in a few moments who are going to tell you how you can be involved. You're listening to KISS 104, Atlanta's best R&B and throwbacks. Let's